With WXPR News, I'm John Burton reporting. A fire in Arbovada caused an estimated $400,000 in damage. Arbovada Fire Rescue got the call of a fully involved structure fire at 6:41 Sunday evening. Firefighters got to 11107 Kern Lane in about 7 minutes and found a 40-foot by 80-foot steel storage building going up in flames. Several vehicles near the building were also involved, and numerous small explosions were reported. Traffic on Highway 51 was reduced to 2 lanes while the firefighting effort was underway. Help was requested from a number of area fire departments. The cause of the fire is under investigation. The Northwoods Child Development Center, a daycare center based in Eagle River, just received a $10,000 grant. WXPR's Hannah Davis-Reed talked to the director of the center about what they plan to do with the money.
The Northwoods Child Development Center recently received a $10,000 small business grant from American Express and Main Street America. The daycare center has been a part of the community in Eagle River for over 30 years. Director Wendy Connitz says they plan to spruce up the front of the center with part of the grant money.
We are also using some of the money to make the front of the center more relatable to what we do here, because so many people tell us that they drive by and I had no idea there was a daycare here. So we're going to put some statues out front and make it more preschool-like, I guess.
With the other part of the grant, they'll install a bike path.
For years, we have been trying to put a bike path in for the kids on the playground.
Thanks to this grant, they'll actually be able to do so in August. American Express and Main Street America created the Backing Small Businesses grant program in 2021 and have expanded the program since. In April, eligible businesses for the Backing Small Businesses grant program submitted proposals for projects that grow or improve their businesses by building community, supporting their economic viability, or bolstering meaningful change. American Express say they want to help under-resourced and economically vulnerable small businesses recover from the COVID-19 pandemic. Connitz notes that a lot of COVID-19 support programs that were really helping the center have since been cut.
There were programs in place for a while that would help the workers pay for childcare. Those were amazing programs, but those were gone.
The National Federation of Independent Businesses surveyed small business owners and found that most reported their local economies remain below pre-COVID-19 crisis levels of economic activity. For WXPR News, I'm Hannah Davis-Reed.
Jumping into a lake can be one of the biggest joys of summer in the Northwoods, but you need to keep safety in mind. Amy Larson, paramedic and EMS outreach coordinator for Aspirus Medevac, talked about some of the common calls they see.
We respond to quite a few back and neck and extremity injuries from water sports, such as water skiing or tubing. We also have responded to drownings, which unfortunately are probably one of the more common. Shallow water diving emergencies are very common as well. If you aren't sure how deep the water is, please do not dive in.
Kaylee Dasher, aquatics director at the YMCA of the Northwoods, encouraged people to be water competent.
Most importantly, I recommend taking swim lessons and learning water competency skills from the professionals directly. However, that is not always accessible for everyone. So I would recommend learning how to float. There is a lot of great resources available to be able to teach yourselves that at home. So if you have access to preferably a lifeguarded body of water, learning how to float on your back is a pivotal survival skill.
Drowning is the leading cause of death for children under the age of 3. Dasher encourages parents and caregivers to learn what to do in an emergency. The pocketbooks of the dairy industry and everyday consumers have not felt the impact of bird flu on their milk, at least not yet. Harvest Public Media contributor St. Louis Public Radio's Will Bauer reports so far the outbreak in dairy cattle has been fairly contained.
13 states in the U.S. have reported avian influenza in dairy cows. Cattle on about 160 dairy farms have tested positive so far. But that's just a drop in the bucket of total dairies in the country, which tallies about 25,000. While individual farmers have taken cows out of their rotation, the impact on the dairy industry has been minimal, says University of Wisconsin ag economics professor Chuck Nicholson.
With any kind of epidemiological situation that we have going on, the future can be quite uncertain. So it's something that we need to keep a close eye on. But for the moment, we don't see any major shifts.
Nicholson says that could change, but the bird flu outbreak would have to get much worse. For Harvest Public Media, I'm Will Bauer.
Congress is back in session for two more weeks before the August recess. Wisconsin Voices, worried about the future of a key hunger relief program, hope lawmakers protect its funding with a deadline looming. Mike Moen reports.
The Supplemental Nutrition Assistance Program, or SNAP, falls under the Farm Bill, which needs to be reauthorized by the end of September. House Republicans have blocked efforts to maintain White House authority to make non-inflationary adjustments to SNAP benefits, a move President Joe Biden made in 2021 when he carried out a record increase. Megan Rowe with the group Opportunity Wisconsin says not having that option would put recipients at a disadvantage.
SNAP benefits help over 700,000 Wisconsinites afford food. And so gutting this assistance would mean that these families have to make difficult choices.
The Congressional Budget Office says removing the provision would limit the scope of future SNAP increases by $30 billion. Wisconsin Republican Congressman Derek Van Orden was called out for a recent committee vote to keep the option shelved. He accused Democrats of lying when saying the panel was cutting benefits. I'm Mike Moen.
Yet another administrator has resigned in the central Wisconsin community of Kronenwetter. Mike Leichner reports.
Peter Kampfer submitted a letter of resignation on Friday, meaning in the first 7 months of the new year, the Marathon County village of roughly 8,500 has seen two full-time administrators, neither lasting more than 4 months. Former Public Works Director Leonard Ludi was promoted to the role in January, but was out by late March after his three-month probationary period expired. Before then, the last full-time administrator was Richard Downey, who left in the summer of 2022. Since then, numerous people have held the interim title, including Police Chief Terry McHugh and former Plover Administrator Dan Mahoney. The village board is expected to meet tonight to discuss the vacancy.
That was Mike Leichner reporting. For WXPR News, I'm John Burton reporting.